Just One More with Joanna and Daphne, a fitness and nutrition podcast for normal people who want to be more awesome. If you have trouble deciding between just one more cupcake and just one more kettlebell swing, this is the podcast for you. I'm Joanna Shaw-Flam. I'm an actor, a comedian, and a normal person.
And I am Daphne Yang. I'm a certified personal trainer, a certified nutrition counselor, and the creator of HIIT It, New York's ultimate high-intensity interval training workout.
And before we get started, remember to talk to your doctor before beginning any workout or nutrition plan. Hi, Daphne.
Hi, Joanna.
It's nice to see you.
It's been a while.
I know. Even though our podcasts have been coming out regularly, listeners, spoiler alert, Daphne and I actually haven't seen each other in a few weeks, so we're very excited to be back together. We have a great topic for today. But first of all, we wanted to ask you for a favor, which is, can you rate us on iTunes, please?
We would love that.
We would love it. We have lots of great ratings, but we could use a lot more because the way the algorithm works on iTunes, the more ratings we have, the more people can find us when they search for stuff. And we want people to find us so they can be like you and be a super cool listener. So it takes like 5 seconds to give us a star rating. And then if you want to give us a review, that's even better, and that only takes like 5 minutes. In fact, I wanted to read something from one of the reviews on the podcast. This is from a total stranger. I don't know who this person is, but I love this. It said, I kind of feel like I'm working towards being Joanna's level of normal rather than Daphne's level of awesome. Me too. I feel you, person in the reviews.
That's so great.
I think that's awesome. So leave us a review. We read them. And we want to know how to make the show better and also want to know what you like. So review us on iTunes or whatever you use to listen to podcasts. We totally love it. So today we're talking about bones and calcium. Bones are so weird. Here's why bones are weird. Because you don't want to see your own. Like, if you're seeing your own bones, something bad has happened to you.
you need to get to the hospital immediately.
Exactly. And mostly if you see another person's bones, that's also bad.
Mm-hmm.
But in a way, they're like the part of our inner workings that we actually see pictures of the most, because skeletons are like a cultural image.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas like you don't as much see just like a picture of a bunch of muscles.
So true.
But it's weird for me to think about the fact that like a skeleton is a thing I have inside me.
Yeah. Because it's almost more strange because we do see it so often and we see skeletons all the time in doctor's offices and,
TV shows about doctor's offices.
Yeah. And it's like, oh, you right now, Joanna Shaw-Flam, you have one of those inside of you.
So weird.
At this present moment. Yeah.
I always wonder what my skeleton would look like if I were like a classroom skeleton. First of all, it would be very short.
5'3"?
5'3", 5'4", depending. Probably without skin and muscle, I'm 5'3". It's weird. Bones are weird. But we don't think of them as much when we exercise, I think because we can't see them and because no one's like, girl, you got some sexy bones, right? Like we think about like our muscles and like the general shape of our bodies a lot, but we don't think about our bones. So what's the deal with bones, Daphne?
Well, bones are very important to take care of. And there are so many ways that we can do that. So bones are part of our body system, the skeletal system. So that is the system where we talk about bones and ligaments and tendons. So all of those things are a part of the skeletal system. But of course, the skeletal system mainly is comprised of our 206 bones.
Or if you're my husband, 208, because we just found out he has 2 extra foot bones. Weird facts.
Weird facts, and totally okay to have those extra bones. Yeah, he might need some inserts, but I think that just makes him all the more special. So the skeletal system is incredibly important, of course. It is just the supportive and protective framework for everything. It's the supportive and protective framework for all the underlying soft tissues and our muscles. So bones are really important in that they keep the framework of our body there. If we did not have bones, we would just be piles of mush.
In college, once our friend Sam and I were doing a scene together in acting class, and we were like doing our prep, which in college acting class is like very serious. You're supposed to like take your moment and do your prep work. She just leaned over to me and said, "Joanna, what if we had no bones?" And I was like, "I think we'd just be bags of skin then, Sam. I don't know. I have a scene to do."
Sam. Oh, Sammy.
Sammy.
Oh my gosh.
So I always think about that. What if we had no bones?
What if we had no bones? Well, we would not be able to move at all.
Right.
And you're right. We would be piles of mush. The skeleton is important and bones are important. They just provide these firm surface areas for our muscles to attach to so that we can move. And most importantly, the skeleton protects the body, but it also protects our internal organs.
Right.
So that's why we have bones.
Now, sounds good.
Now, what are they?
That's what are they like made of? I feel like it's like bone is a material. So it's like, well, bones are made of bone.
Yeah. 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 Right.
The end of podcast.
The end.
Very helpful. Thank you, Joanna and Daphne.
I'm sure you guys learned a lot with that. So bones are made up mostly of collagen, which is a protein that is kind of woven into this really intricate framework. And bones contain calcium phosphate and calcium carbonate. And these are minerals that add the strength and they harden this collagen framework. So we have a combination of collagen, calcium phosphate, and calcium carbonate. And I know we hear the term calcium quite a bit. But so really it's this combination of calcium and collagen. And that's what gives bones their strength, but also their flexibility.
Yeah, because they really have to be able to do different stuff. Like if we were just full of metal rods, I feel like it wouldn't work as well.
Exactly.
Although lots of people, because of various things, like do end up having like metal rods put inside
them.
They
do. Yeah.
And they manage.
It happens. Yeah. Hip replacements.
RoboCop situations.
You know, the
Wolverine
the normal.
things. You understand.
So they really from top to bottom, these bones, they provide support for our body and they help us form our shape, but they also protect a lot of important things. If you think about our heads, it's our skull that protects our brain and forms the shape of our face. Our spinal cord is incredibly important. It's the pathway for messages between the brain and the body, and that's protected by the backbone or the spinal column. So lots of really important bones, and they are made up of more than just bone.
Good to know. So I think another reason that we don't talk about bones as much in terms of like health and fitness stuff is that my sense is that you can't change your bones exactly.
Mm-hmm.
But there are some ways in which we like work on our bones.
Yeah.
So it's not like with muscles, you can like build lean muscle mass
right.
and stuff. But what, like we're not going to grow our bones, right?
Well, so in terms of, well, bones are always generating. And in terms of, they're always getting stronger. We do have ways to make bones stronger. And we actually do have the ability, especially with our spine, to change the structure of it a little bit. But in terms of your actual, let's just take your leg bone, your femur. Is there a way that we can actually like manipulate it or make it grow longer?
Give me an extra couple inches.
Yeah, yeah. Which, you know, there are so many of these like bogus things like shots and, oh, you know, stretching thing. Like it would have to be a really, really major surgery in which it would involve, you know, breaking the bone and then inserting, you know, metal and then rods. And so really,
but like really would be like a Wolverine situation.
Yeah. Yeah. So in terms of bones changing, yes, they can, but then no, they can't at the same time. Yes, they can in the sense that if you are deficient and if you work on not becoming deficient in different nutrients and calcium, then yes, by all means, you can absolutely change your bone density. That is something you can change. So now our actual vertebrae, that is something that we can change the alignment of.
Mm-hmm.
However, that does not necessarily, we're not necessarily changing your bones. We're changing your vertebrae and its alignment.
It's like,
so
we're not getting new Legos. We're just changing how they fit together.
That's such a great way of putting it, Joanna.
Thanks.
Yeah.
I have a nephew, so thinking a lot about Legos recently. So how would you fit bones into sort of the larger picture of health and wellness? And that's sort of a broad question, but I guess I mean, like, in thinking about being more awesome, what should we be thinking about in terms of our bones?
That's a great question. Bones are not quite as sexy as everything else, right? So in terms of this health and wellness world that that I work in, and that I would say this podcast, although so much more than health and wellness, it's just an overall, I mean, it's just about life. This is a life podcast. There are certain things that are a little bit more appealing to talk about, and there are certain things that are a little bit more tangible, if that makes sense. And there are certain things that are more immediate. So like reducing body fat, building lean muscle, you know, how do I get rid of this pain right away? Like, these are things that we talk about and things that we can almost address and give you an answer right away. Bones are just there. And sometimes they don't really cause us any pain. And sometimes we just don't really think about them, but they are important, and we need our skeletons, and we need them to be healthy. So mainly it's so that later on in life, we have good quality of life and we are able to avoid bone density issues that many men and women do experience later on in life. So in a sense, this might be more of a, some preventative stuff we're talking about today, but very, very important preventative stuff.
It makes me think about, some of the stuff we talked about in our heart health episode, where it's like young people don't talk about it as much in their like fitness and health world, because that's not when the problems present themselves.
Yeah.
They present themselves when you're older. But if you do like do the work to keep your heart, or in our case this week, our bones in good shape, like, you're setting yourself up for, you know, an easier time when you do get older.
Mm-hmm.
But that's like harder to sell people on when they're like young and invincible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because young and invincible people sometimes are not thinking about what's going to happen to us at age 70.
Totally. Totally.
Yeah. And bones, they do regenerate. If you think about getting a broken bone, it's actually way, I think it's better. I mean, none of this is good, but it is technically better to break a bone than it is to sever a ligament, because bones actually regenerate themselves. So you can break a bone and that can heal itself over time on its own. Whereas if you sever a ligament, it either will stay severed or broken, if you will, unless you have surgery to fix it. So bones do have blood circulating through them. And if you think of the inside of bone, that's our bone marrow.
Right.
So the bone marrow is on the inside, and then it's that calcium, collagen, or quote unquote bone,
you know, the bone part of bones
on the outside. So the bone marrow is where all the red blood cells, white blood cells, and are generated. So that's why the bone marrow is really important.
Have you ever broken a bone?
I have not. Knock on wood.
I haven't really. So the only like break I ever had was when I was 4. I fell into the corner of a door and hit the back of my head.
Oh.
And I did have to have staples.
Uh-huh.
But because I was 4, I'm not totally clear on if it was just that like the like cut was bad enough that it needed to be stapled together because that's how heads work,
mm-hmm.
or if there was any actual like damage done to the bone. But I never did like had like broken arm, broken leg, or anything like that. And neither did my sister, actually.
Oh, that's great. This is
because the flams are very careful.
Or very strong.
Right, I'm sure that's it.
Wait a minute. The flams also consume cheese.
That's true.
And
we are.
That is why you guys are so strong, because your bone density is probably fantastic.
Well, you should know that at our last holiday get-together, we spent an entire evening grabbing different dairy products from the fridge and seeing which had the most protein. So we're not only fun, but we're also informed. So if you're looking for something to do with your families, I recommend assessing the protein value of your various dairy products. Anyway, so bones. What are our main concerns with our bones?
Our main concerns are keeping the bone density levels high. So keeping your bone density very solid. So one thing that we always talk about, we're always talking about calcium. Calcium is the most important thing for our bones. Well, why is it the most important mineral for our bones? Because that's what our bones are made of. So we want to give our bones more of what they are made of. So a common misconception, you know, we think we just want to eat a lot of calcium. If we can just eat as much calcium as we can, then our bones are going to get a ton of calcium. So it actually doesn't work that way.
What?
I know.
But
yeah.
That's what they tell you when you're a kid.
I know.
Like,
just calcium
drink your milk
equals
for strong bones.
Yeah. And that's it. It's like a little image of milk equals strong bones. So yeah, that's all you need to do. Just draw pictures of milk and bones. So the way our bones actually absorb calcium and minerals and nutrients is actually through our muscles. So the more lean muscle mass you have, the more calcium your bones are able to absorb from them. Mm. So it's as if when you ingest something, when you eat some type of dairy or when you eat something that contains calcium, it goes into your bloodstream and then it goes to your muscles and then your bones take it from your muscles. So that's why, in addition to, of course, ingesting all these wonderful nutrient-dense, mineral-rich, calcium-rich foods, you also have to build lean muscle mass. Huh. So if you are literally just skin and bones, your bones may still be weak and brittle, even if you are eating calcium, because you don't have enough lean muscle mass. So it has no way of pulling the calcium from your muscles because you might not have any.
So we really need that like muscular middleman.
Yeah, it is such a middleman.
Like help get the bones what they need.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Yeah.
The bones, they need the calcium, but they just can't get it for themselves. They need
that assistance.
Help.
Like
so many of us.
And then the second thing on top of that is calcium really only gets absorbed just into our body in general when we have vitamin D. So we can't just have calcium. We need to have vitamin D at the same time. For most people, it's really easy. You just go outside.
Is that easy?
For us New Yorkers.
I know. It's like every New Yorker I know is deficient in vitamin D.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
But vitamin D is...
So I'm sure there are other places, too, where people become even more deficient, like Alaska.
Sure, where it's like... Yeah, or like Scandinavian countries. Countries near the Arctic Circle where, like, you have a period of the year where the sun just doesn't really rise.
Those Danish people, them and their lovely fair skin and blonde hair and,
right.
and no sun.
Right.
So we need to make sure that we eat foods that contain vitamin D, like spinach, greens, and that way the calcium can get absorbed into our body or go outside.
Either one. Maybe both. So what are our main, let's talk about sources of calcium. Mm-hmm. So the one you hear about all the time when you're a kid is milk, right? Mm-hmm. Like that's, I think the reason that, I mean, we could get into all the other reasons that like milk is pushed on children in this country, but one of them is calcium, right? That's mm-hmm. a major reason.
Yeah. Calcium is one of the most common ways to get calcium into our systems is with dairy.
Mm-hmm.
So, but it's not the only way. So that's what I do want to stress, is that dairy is not the only source of calcium, and that calcium is pretty much in a ton of different things. So if anyone does have any type of dairy intolerance, there are plenty of other ways that you can get it. So you can find calcium in beans, in salmon, in calcium fortified foods. So sometimes there are some really great cereals out there that have been fortified with calcium, and also leafy greens.
I was going to say the leafy greens one is the one that, that I had on my mind. And you said that's also a good way to get vitamin D. So that's
definitely
like all in one package.
Mm-hmm. So it's like you're killing two birds with one stone. So think collard greens, spinach, kale, turnip greens. These are all things that are really chock full of both calcium and vitamin D, and those are great ways to also keep your bones super healthy.
Hmm.
Yeah.
So that would work even if I was a vegan, for example.
Mm-hmm.
I could do my like beans and kale and stuff.
Yeah.
I'm not a vegan, but if I was, I would eat lots of beans and kale.
Yeah. So sardines and salmon. So fish.
Mm.
Fish is also very high in calcium, and oatmeal.
Oatmeal.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I know.
Oatmeal is so miraculous.
So yay.
Yay, oatmeal.
Hooray, oatmeal. And also avoiding soft drinks. This is something we actually spoke about recently.
Yeah, in the listener question episode mm-hmm. when we talked about seltzer.
We were talking about seltzer, and then you and I had spoken about soda,
and how soda, is it truly, truly, truly bad for your teeth?
Mm-hmm.
So we were talking about, or is seltzer bad for your teeth? So in terms of soda, soda is not necessarily the best for your bones. And so if you drink copious amounts of it, it does actually kind of deteriorate them. I told you about this science experiment we did in which we took someone's tooth and put it in Coke and left it there for a long time. And we saw how it kind of deteriorated that tooth. So no, seltzer is not going to do that to your teeth or your bones, but drinking a ton of soda can actually decrease the bone density. So yeah.
Another reason to throw out the soda.
Yeah.
Should we be taking calcium supplements?
In terms of supplements, that's totally what you believe in. So I actually do recommend people take a multivitamin. And when you take a multivitamin, there's already going to be some calcium there. So if you are down with taking a multivitamin, or if you want to explore taking a multivitamin, do I recommend it? Yes, I do. Do I personally take one? Yes, I do. I think supplementation is totally fine if you don't go too overboard with it, and if you're just taking a multivitamin, a fish oil, just those things that are just kind of base level what we need. I think prenatal vitamins too are great. So in terms of supplementation, that can be a very personal thing. Is that something I recommend? I don't think you need to go out necessarily and get a full on canister of calcium supplements. If you're taking a multivitamin, awesome. However, there are things out there, chews, chocolate chews, milk chocolate chews, mainly Viactive, I think, is the one that I'm thinking of. If a doctor has told you that you actually do have bone density issues and you do need to take a supplement, if a doctor has told you that, then of course, by all means, go out there, get your Viactive chocolate chew, or just really increase your intake of dairy. Yeah, or just things that contain calcium if you don't want to eat too much dairy.
Right. For all of those supplement type things, I would check in with your doctor because there are things that can react weirdly with stuff you're already taking. So like, for example, I take a medication right away in the morning that I have to take on an empty stomach that I'm not supposed, that like having too much calcium at the same time decreases the efficacy. So I take that in the morning, and then I take my multivitamin at night so that I get my like calcium stuff at night. That's very specific to me, but just in terms of making sure that you're not like reacting weird to other stuff you're taking, or that you're not like getting too much of a thing. Like early on, I got told that I needed to be taking a bunch of iron supplements, and then through various things, including like some changes in my diet, all of a sudden, like the next time I went to the doctor, she was like, oh, you should go off some of this stuff because your levels are actually kind of high. This would be a good thing to have a convo with your doctor about, especially if your doctor does like blood testing when you go in for your annual appointment, which I'm sure you all do. JK, I'm sure only the women do this. But men, you should be doing it too, be getting a physical and checking in with your doctor. Because your doctor will be able to talk about your situation specifically, and can say things like, you know, because of X, Y, and Z, like you are a good candidate for taking extra calcium, or like, I wouldn't do this other thing because of X, Y, and Z. Mm-hmm. So get some personal help.
Definitely. For sure. Because you don't want osteoporosis.
Right. So what's the deal with osteoporosis?
So it's a medical condition. So it's when your bones become really brittle and fragile, and it happens generally as we get older and we do have some type of calcium deficiency or vitamin D deficiency. And so it's just a reduced bone mass. So the bones become much weaker than they should be. So there are there are symptoms, but at the same time, you might not have any symptoms until something breaks.
Right.
Yeah. And you might not even realize it. So if you do experience loss of height or bone fractures, that could be an indication of it. So that really, this is something that we just want to prevent, something that we don't want to happen to any of us or people we know in our lives. So self-care is just really critical, and making sure you're exercising so you have the lean muscle mass for the bones to pull the calcium from. And then also making sure that you are just seeing a doctor on a yearly basis, so that that's something, as we get a little bit older, they will screen for that.
Mm-hmm. Or if you're already older, maybe you're already getting screened for that.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. And good on you if you are getting checked out
totally
for that.
So another thing we are going to talk about is posture and alignment, because mm-hmm. when you were saying that, like, there are some ways we can sort of, I guess, adjust our bones is like the way to talk about it. And we're not changing them, but we're like, we can adjust how they work.
Yeah.
That there are ways to do that. And I know that, like, you have been a big fan of,
like, chiropractic care.
Yeah, mm-hmm. totally. So, what's the story on posture and alignment and improving the locations of our bones?
So there are a lot of things that we have heard of before from a spine alignment perspective. I feel like we do hear the term scoliosis very frequently. Mm-hmm. And there are, and scoliosis is a type of spine curvature disorder. And there are actually quite a few of them. So scoliosis is when our spine is curved, and there are other ones where our spine is bent too far one way, and then another one where our spine is bent too far the other way. So there's an entire world of spinal curvature disorders.
Did you get tested for that in school?
I did get tested for that in school.
Yeah, I remember elementary school where we all went in and, like, had someone look at our backs.
Yeah, yeah. And they, it's great that they do that, because they are able to catch things a little earlier. Because scoliosis, so many people actually do have scoliosis.
Mm-hmm. And it's pretty common.
Even short, like, yes, a lot of tall people have it, but it doesn't discriminate. So it's not just the really tall people who have it. But when we do have those spinal issues where our spine is curved in a way it's not supposed to be curved, it can cause so much pain. It can cause pain, but it throws everything else off in your body. So it throws off your balance, your alignment. So in terms of what can we do for these either spine curvature disorders or just posture and alignment, that is something that we can actually work on. So even just now, so say for someone, say for you all out there sitting at your, in your car or at your desk listening to this, or if you're standing and walking, just stand up a little straighter or sit up a little straighter. So you see, it's not impossible to have good posture. We just have to think about it.
Yeah.
Like, it's
and
not
it takes
like,
work.
Yeah. It takes work, and it takes a little bit of presence, and it takes a little bit of thought. And yes, it does take, you know, strengthening the back muscles and making sure our chest muscles are not too tight.
And strengthening the core. Like, right now I'm sitting up and I, like, feel my core working.
Yeah, totally. And then when you and I record a whole bunch of episodes in a row, I feel this as, like, the minutes progress.
We get shorter and
shorter and shorter and shorter. So, yes, it is possible to do some spine realignment. And in terms of these spine curvature disorders, there's, of course, medication that can help you. Exercise and physical therapy are great for increasing strength and flexibility. And surgery is kind of like the last resort. But with chiropractic care, I've seen it. And you can also adjust it just by strengthening and stretching as well. There was and I remember one of the very first instances with my chiropractor I had was he was showing me x-rays of, and these are just like up on his wall, just x-rays
of,
you see x-rays of spine curvature, and then just after a few months of chiropractic care, how the spine is finally back into perfect alignment. For the majority of Americans, it's mostly slouching.
Sure.
And when the slouching gets so bad, it's, really, it actually does adjust the spine, because the human body is so amazing at making adaptations. So when you're always holding your body in a certain way, everything's going to adjust just to keep you in that kind of way. I see it a lot with elderly people, which is mm-hmm. really sad. You see people, like, walking down the street and they're totally hunched over. So yes, chiropractic care is really great for working on alignment. And it just helps to create mobility in your bones, and it helps to realign the vertebrae and the discs, and also helps to reset your hips. It helps with a lot of different things. However, you can't just do chiropractic care. You also do need to strengthen and stretch. And I saw this fantastic video online about a couple months ago, and there was this old woman, an elderly woman, and she had been kind of a hunchback for decades. And that was, she just thought that that was just the way her spine was supposed to be. So they sent a yoga therapist to some organization, sent a yoga therapist.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess different than a yoga instructor. I'm not quite sure exactly how, but maybe doing more like hands-on versus just like downward dog, vinyasa mm-hmm. flow, doing actual yoga therapy
mm-hmm.
with her. And then after a month, this woman, just because of the yoga therapy, was standing completely straight. And so doctors had told her that she was just going to be a hunchback for the rest of her days. But the yoga therapy, through just muscular manipulation and strengthening and stretching, her spine was actually able to readjust itself. So that's my take on alignment and the spine.
And I think, you know, for things like chiropractic care and yoga therapy and you know, there's also like in the world of acting, when they talk about posture and alignment, they talk about Alexander technique a lot.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And all of those things, I would say, like, if you're interested or if you're having like any, you know, back problems or like alignment problems, or if you're having pain that you think have to do with posture, like try a few things and see what connects with you.
Mm-hmm.
Because anything that you are doing in terms of self-care, the thing you're going to stick with the most is like the thing that's most valuable to you.
Yeah.
Like I always say, it doesn't matter if it works for someone else, if it doesn't work for you. So don't be afraid to like explore some of those options and see what makes you feel good. Because that's part of like being an active part of your own care mm-hmm. is like looking at the different ways that might make you feel more awesome and then trying them out and then seeing what works.
Mm-hmm.
Totally. Well, do you have anything else you want to say about bones? Are there things we should be thinking about when we exercise having to do with our bones?
Yeah. You know, from a bone standpoint, just making sure your alignment is correct when you exercise, which kind of circles back to form, which we do have an entire episode on.
Mm-hmm.
So making sure that your spine is protected. So that's why we do a lot of the exercises we do, like planks, core work. Those exercises actually help to protect our spine. And then also just keeping your shoulders locked down and back and just keeping your core engaged. Those are all ways that we can really protect our spine by contracting the muscles that are surrounding all the bones in our body.
I remember you always say no shoulders for earrings.
No shoulders for earrings.
That's the big one I have to think about. It's like letting my shoulders relax.
Yeah, just drop them.
There's graffiti in my neighborhood that people spray on the sidewalks that says release your shoulders. And every time I see one, I'm like, oh yeah.
Oh my gosh.
It's like the most helpful graffiti ever. Great. Well, I'm going to try to do a little takeaway. So bones are weird, but they're what holds our body together and keep us from being just a bag of skin. And they are there to protect our organs and also so that we can move and walk around and stuff. And they're made of collagen mixed with two different kinds of calcium that I don't remember.
Mm-hmm.
Calcium
phosphate.
Phosphate
is the first one. And the second one is
calcium
calcium
ride?
Carbonate. Yeah.
Calcium carbonate. That makes more sense. And the calcium like works with the collagen to make it more like strong and hard, which is what we think of as bone. And then in the middle of the bones is our bone marrow. And mm-hmm. that's where like the blood cells and stuff come from. And that's mm-hmm. why our bones can heal themselves if they break.
Yeah. That's where they're made.
Where they're made. You know, we need calcium. We need to ingest calcium for strong bones, but it's not like the calcium goes directly to our bones. It goes into our muscles and then our bones like pull it from the muscles. So mm-hmm. to have strong bones, we need to have lots of lean muscle mass so that we have those middlemen to like hand the calcium off to our bones.
Mm-hmm.
And to get calcium, we can have dairy, but we can also have leafy greens or salmon or some other fish, you said, and
sardines,
beans.
Yeah. Beans. Nuts too.
Nuts also.
Yeah.
And we want to make sure that we're also getting vitamin D because we need vitamin D in order to absorb the calcium. So either go outside and get some sun, or you can eat foods that have vitamin D, or take a vitamin D supplement. Daffy says probably take a multivitamin. I do, but check in with your doctor in case there are any special things you need to know. But you probably don't need to be taking extra calcium supplements unless your doctor says you do. Mm-hmm. All of this is so that as we get older, we, don't get osteoporosis or a loss of bone density, which makes it easy to break our bones. And, that would be sad. So we want to keep our bones strong. And, there are things we can do to work on our alignment of our bones. So our posture, and like how our spine fits together and stuff. We can do things like yoga therapy or physical therapy, or we can go to a chiropractor, or
sit up straight.
Sit up straight is also good. Have you ever used one of those posture monitor things?
I have not.
Matt used one for a while. It was like a belt that, like, if he slouched for too long, it would buzz.
Oh, wow.
But he said it was exhausting. So we don't have to be perfect all the time when it comes to posture, but making an effort to make sure we're aligned correctly, especially when we're exercising, is good for our bodies all around. Did I miss anything
That's
important?
A great takeaway, Joanna.
Thanks, Daphne.
You're such a good listener.
Well, thanks for telling us about bones. This is the segment of the show where we answer questions from listeners sometimes when we get them. We got a great question, and this one is sort of like a comment slash question from a listener named Marie. And Marie says, hi there. Then she says a bunch of nice things about the show, which I'm not going to repeat because I'm not obsessed with myself. And then she says, I wanted to write because I think this is the second time that I've heard you refer to gluten as something found in wheat. As a celiac, that's a little misleading because it's also found in barley and rye, which is how it hides in a lot of foods. That's super important. Thank you for pointing it out, Marie. Mm-hmm. We always want to be as accurate as we can. And, you know, I think a lot of people use wheat as shorthand for celiac, but that's actually really misleading in a lot of ways because there are different reasons people might not eat wheat, and it like some people have like a wheat allergy, which is different from celiac.
Yeah. So celiac is just entirely, gluten intolerant. And yes, gluten is found in wheat, barley, rye, and many other things.
Right. So, definitely didn't want to, oversimplify on the gluten front. So thanks for pointing that out.
Yeah. Marie. And we talked about that too in our gluten episode.
Yeah.
Yeah, we talk about rye and barley and That's all right. that jazz.
All that jazz. But then she has a question, which is, celiacs are often advised to stay away from all oats, even ones that say gluten-free, because they are so often cross-contaminated during the growing process. Yeah, that's pretty tough because, like, what are you going to do out in a field? Like,
yeah,
you know,
yeah, it happens.
It happens. But you have to be really careful about it if it makes you really sick.
Celiac. Yeah.
So she says, you talk about oatmeal being a great breakfast option for all its health benefits, but is there something else that's easy and healthy you would recommend for people who can't have oats? I usually either have a Greek yogurt or a fried egg with sweet potato, but I want to mix it up and start my day with more substance. Thanks. That's a great question.
That's such a great question. And then just overall too, for just gluten-free breakfast for anyone who does want to work on reduction of gluten, there are so many awesome, healthy, tasty, delicious things out there. So what I am going to recommend, so let's stick with the oatmeal first. So, okay, oatmeal. How do we replace oatmeal? What is similar to oatmeal and what is not, what does not contain gluten? Rice and quinoa. Rice, quinoa, and corn. So think polenta, rice, and quinoa. Bowls. Breakfast bowls.
Mm-hmm.
You can make brown rice. You can make quinoa, you can make polenta, and you can top it with a fried egg. You can top it with some cheese if you want. You can top it with herbs and spices and salt and pepper.
You could go sweet too.
You can go, that's the savory direction. Or you can go completely sweet and you can add some honey and cinnamon and bananas. So
fruit and
use
maple
these
syrup.
Fruit, maple syrup. So use these three things the way you would use oatmeal. And oatmeal, you can do savory or sweet. So with quinoa, quinoa and rice and polenta, you can also go in that direction as well. So quinoa scrambles are really fun. You just, it turns out being like fried rice kind of by the end of it. It's super easy. It's just quinoa and spinach and scallions and tomatoes and whatever else you want and an egg. And it just all kind of stir fried together after you've made the quinoa, of course. But there really are so many delicious gluten-free options out there. So in terms of, if you do want to do more like baked goods, you can always do banana pancakes. And banana pancakes, it's like banana and eggs. And then we can find some recipes for you guys.
Yeah, I'll link to some like in the show
bananas
notes.
Bananas and eggs. Or you can go the almond flour direction and just replace your flour with almond flour. Replace any recipes. You might have to find a more specific recipe, but just use almond flour instead. And you can still make pancakes and a ton of gluten-free baked goods and have those on hand.
I think one key is the protein factor. And that's one way that I think quinoa is a really good replacement, because quinoa is pretty high in protein, right? Whereas like rice is not as high
in protein. Yeah.
So it sort of depends like what your main goal is. If your goal is like just like, you know, have like something that feels filling and you're not as concerned about like maxing out the protein level, like, you know, rice or like a polenta type thing would be totally awesome. Mm-hmm. If you're really focused on the protein side, quinoa is a good way to go.
Yeah. And then with the rice too, dinner for breakfast, whatever you had the night before, you can have leftovers for breakfast.
Mm-hmm.
And if you had chicken and rice and something, you can eat that for breakfast. Mm-hmm. That's okay. It's socially acceptable. It might feel weird, but I always use my older sister as an example. And every morning for her entire life, our entire lives, you know, at home growing up, she had a really substantial breakfast, and she would just eat whatever we had for dinner the night before, which was always rice and meat and vegetables. And I mean, just look at my older sister. So that's like the best way.
Spoiler alert. Yeah. Daphne's older sister is gorgeous.
Yeah. Meanwhile, I was like eating a fruit roll up or like, you know. Well,
and now you're also gorgeous.
I figured my stuff out at some point in time. I was like, I don't think this is how I'm supposed to be eating. I remember very, very well eating fruit by the foot for breakfast.
Hey, fruit's in the name.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, one advantage or one reason that we talk about oatmeal so much is the make ahead factor.
Mm-hmm.
And so, in terms of thinking about the things we just said for making things ahead of time, because with breakfast, I know that's, for me, that's often a thing. For the like porridgey stuff, you can totally make that ahead. So you can do and actually like the polenta might even hold up better if you make it ahead and let it like set for a while. Cause I've definitely made my share of like gooey polenta. But on the other hand, polenta. Like my father-in-law eats what he calls cornmeal mush in the morning, which is basically just like gooey polenta. So it depends on your taste.
Mm-hmm.
I tend to like things with like a little bit more bite. So, having it set up in the fridge overnight a little bit would be good.
Yeah.
The quinoa you could definitely do ahead of time. We make quinoa in our rice cooker. Because a truth about me is that one of my great cooking weaknesses is cooking rice. I like can't do it without a rice cooker. But we love our rice cooker. It's the best.
You're more Asian than I am.
Well, we got it from my sister-in-law who's Japanese. So we got the hookup.
I love that you have one.
Yeah, but it's great for making quinoa, and then you can just keep it in the fridge and all you have to do is like nuke it or like throw it in a pan with your eggs or whatever. When I was sticking with the Asia theme, when my sister was living in China and we went to visit her, we went to a restaurant that was all rice porridge. And it was just like a menu full of different kinds of rice porridge.
Yeah.
And so you can make that ahead of time, I'm sure, too. I'll try to find some recipes.
I grew up on rice porridge.
Yeah.
And you can do that salty or sweet, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like I think when we went, I had like egg and scallion and my husband had like pumpkin and Allie had black sesame.
So good, guys.
Lots of options.
This might sound weird, but Asians know what's up.
It's true. So those are a few ideas.
Yeah. Those are ideas in the realm of sticking to that theme of kind of that, you know, something you have to eat with a spoon.
Yeah.
But there are so many other gluten-free alternatives. So the one of my favorites is just using corn tortillas and just having what I call an eggadilla, and you just put eggs and avocado and whatever the heck you want into a corn tortilla. So the thing with corn tortillas, I know sometimes people aren't necessarily huge fans of them, to which I say you might be preparing it incorrectly. So this is not the type of tortilla that you want to like steam. It's not a flour tortilla. You want it like a little toasty. So I just put mine directly on the burner. I don't even put them
on the pan.
Yeah. I do the burner on like super low. And I just watch it. You have to watch it.
Sure.
And it,
otherwise
like,
you end up with like a fire fireball.
And I saw this on Food Network. I was using the pan. And then I saw on Food Network, one of the chefs, they just said it was a much easier way. And I tried it. And now I have it. I've never looked back. But yeah, just swapping out bread for tortillas instead, corn tortillas instead. And swapping out wheat flour for almond flour for baked goods and pancakes and
For baked goods and stuff, it's not just a one-to-one swap. Like
you would definitely look for a specific recipe. Yeah, it's not a one-to-one swap.
But there are more and more. There are a couple brands.
There's a brand called Cup for Cup.
Cup for Cup, which is made by my former employer, Thomas Keller.
Is it really? Yeah.
And King Arthur also now has a gluten-free flour that's one-to-one replacement.
I like Cup for Cup. But I also like the taste of almond flour. Mm-hmm. I love almond flour.
Yeah, so it sort of depends like what your deal is and what you're looking for. But I think those are some good options, Marie.
Definitely.
I hope some of those work for you.
Yeah, let us know if you are able to make some of these for breakfast. And take some pics.
Yeah. Great. Thanks, Marie. And if you want to send us questions, please do. You can send them to us over email, which is info@justonemorepodcast.com. You can put them on our Facebook page, facebook.com/justonemorepodcast. You can send us some sort of message on Instagram. Instagram has changed so much recently, I have no idea how it works. But we're on there @justonemorepod. Same thing, Twitter @justonemorepod. Send us your questions. We'll answer them. Thanks for listening to Just One More with Joanna and Daphne. Our show is hosted by Daphne Yang and me, Joanna Shaw Flam. We're produced and edited by me. Our theme music is by Hannah vs. The Many, who you can hear at hannahvsthemany.com. We'll be back next week. You can make sure you don't miss an episode by subscribing to Just One More on iTunes, Google Play Music, or whatever you use to listen to podcasts. For show notes and for help subscribing, you can go to our website, justonemorepodcast.com. Let us know what you think. Find us on Twitter and Instagram @JustOneMorePod, on Facebook @Facebook.com/JustOneMorePodcast, or you can email us at info@JustOneMorePodcast.com. Thanks again, and we'll see you next week.